money would buy it.
I shake my head. He probably just wanted to support physics as a discipline.
Eli's eyebrow rises.
2 summers ago, those floor-to-ceiling bookshelves you wanted in your room?
The ones you put up while I was on vacation with Jade? Even though you'd told me that I was smart enough to figure out how to put together my own furniture and that I couldn't pick and choose the gender roles that I wanted to reject or automatically assume that you'd do shit for me because I'm a woman?
What you said, Maya, was, I'm just a girl. I don't know how to use power tools. You have to do this for me, which I refused to entertain, and it wasn't me.
What do you mean?
Hark came over, put them up, painted the walls, cleaned up the mess.
What? Why didn't you tell me?
Because he asked me not to, because he said it would relax him, and that he was doing it mostly for himself, because I'd just gotten with Rue and struggled to think about anything that wasn't her.
But that has not changed.
No.
He sighs, rubs his eyes.
There are things about Hark, about the past few years, that I'm starting to consider in a different light. I always assumed that he wasn't over Minami. Every behavior, every reaction, every time he chose work over relationships, every strain I attributed to the fact that he was still in love with her. But...
He looks at me as though I might have an answer for him. Have you been to... Did you go to him, too? To talk about me?
Not yet, but...
Don't. Please. He already thinks that he's a pervy old man stealing schoolgirls' underwear. He hates that I'm younger.
Eli weighs my words.
It's not an irrational concern, Maya. You are at different stages in your lives.
What if Rue was 15 years younger than you? Or older?
She's not. That's the point.
The point is that you find someone and you can't always control where shit goes. I mean, you met her on a sex app.
Right, and I fell for her, and for a while there, I wanted a relationship and she didn't, which did not make for a pleasant experience. That's why I came here to tell you that if you're using Hark to have some fun...
I'm not. I like him.
I know you do, but...
No, Eli. I like him.
A beat my brother absorbs, reorients, and says...
I see.
3 years ago, my last semester in Scotland, he helped me. I swallow. And then we kept in touch. For over 2 years, we spoke nearly every day, as friends. And then Eli waits patiently for me to continue. Before this week, I hadn't talked to him in months.
Why?
I exhale slowly. Because it all went to shit.
Chapter 35. 10 months earlier, Austin, Texas. It's been 2 weeks since Connor and I had our late night talk about Alfie and love and Connor's relationship with Minami. We haven't spoken since then, which is a first in our friendship. Connor has been busy, traveling, covering for Eli when he and Rue took off for a long weekend. Harkness is expanding and their roles are changing and goal-directed supervision is crucial in this transitional stage and blah, blah, blah. I don't care too much, because 7 days ago I saw him in person, in a church parking lot, of all places. He was wearing a slate 3-piece suit and sunglasses, shaking his head at the rest of us as we shifted uncomfortably on our feet. We looked up at the steeple, and I felt a little queasy at the brick-and-mortar reminder that religion is a thing that exists.
You look surprisingly at ease,
Eli told him as he led us up the steps of the church. Connor snorted.
You know that Irish Catholic guilt you've been making fun of me for? Yeah, this is the upside of that.
I smiled, then turned to Minami and Sol. Said, I've never been to a christening. They answered in unison, Neither have I. They weren't planning to have one for Kaida. But Saul was raised by his grandmother, who is very Catholic, and the whole baptism business is very important to her, even though Saul himself is very indifferent to the whole thing.
Last I checked, Manami whispered at me, I was allergic to frankincense. What I'm hearing is we are all going to burst into flames when we step into that church.
Connor was holding the door open for all of us, but I saw the little twitch in his jaw, the curve of a smile, and my blood bubbled in my veins. Is it love if watching him almost laugh at my jokes turns me on 10 times more than the professionally filmed and heavily filtered thirst traps dudes send on apps?
Careful there, Trouble,
he murmured, and that was the extent of our exchanges. After the ceremony, we sat at opposite ends of the restaurant table. I stole a grand total of 3 glances at him, and every time he was talking with a different person. Eli, Rue, Sol's adorable grandma. I watched him stand and wander around with Kaida to give Manami and Sol a chance to eat. Had the stupidest thought. He'd be a great dad. I'm not proud to admit it, but it wasn't even the first time. I bet some people would disagree. Say that he's too cold, too arrogant, too focused on his job. But he's a caretaker. Has that deadpan sense of humor that sends children in a tailspin. Yes, there's a bit of a Teflon shell coating his entire soul, but he'd let a baby in. Would show his real self. A neurotic perfectionist who cares too much to let go of anything. After dinner, he went to the airport, and then he was off to the Midwest for one of those ag tech deals that he told me are his favorite. The following day, he called Rue to ask for advice, because she's really good at what she does and occasionally consults for him. They talked about aquaculture for nearly an hour. Eli and I smiled as we made tortilla soup from the recipe Mackenzie had texted me, listening to them argue, equally stubborn. Almost too cute. Maybe we share a type after all. I miss Connor. A lot. I could pull out my phone. Any day, any time. And I know he would pick up before the first ring is even over, but I don't want to force him to make time for me. And in the end, it's okay. Because a few nights later, he calls.
How did the Zoom go?
He asks, like my little grad school meetings are as important as his $1 million deals. And they fucking are. I'm glad he knows it. It went well. We talked about this fluid astrophysics CERN project that sounds interesting. And it's Jack Smith.
Jack Smith?
Yeah.
You just made that up.
No. Well, his actual name is Jonathan Smith Turner. He runs this research center in Boston. He's one of those, he calls, you go. And I like him.
You like him?
He says, a blank slate of a tone. In the sense that I wouldn't mind working with him. Not in a, I cannot wait to bang him on the Hadron Collider way.
Mm-hmm.
He's married to this theoretical physicist who works with Georgina Sepulveda.
Oh yeah, George. You did that internship with her last year, right?
Yep. And even if he weren't, he's old. And I'm not in the habit of consorting with the elderly. A beat. Though I make an exception for you. I wait for him to choose from his usual array of retorts.
Shut up, Trouble. I feel the same way about you infants. This is why I call. You keep me humble.
But he remains uncharacteristically quiet. So I continue. The girl who was leading this CERN project had a family emergency, which means that someone from her team is stepping up to fill her role. It leaves a research position unfilled, and you know what they say about the allocation of academic budgets and farm pigs.
Enlighten me.
Nothing can go to waste. He chuckles, low and husky. My hand clutches my phone like it's a lifeline.
You should do it,
he says. Yeah, I definitely should. I mean, I'd have to move to Switzerland for a while. And I know people your age struggle with the logistics of calling foreign countries, but before I leave, we can meet and I can set up your cellular thingamajig.
Actually,
he interrupts. And that's when I know. If not the details, the gist of what's about to go down. Oh no! Did you drop your calling machine into the toilet again? Me trying to stop it with a joke. And him overruling me.
Maybe it wouldn't be too bad if we decreased the frequency of our communications.
He sounds like he's drafting an intercompany memo.
a touch too detached. Stay calm, I tell myself. Nothing bad is happening. Take a deep breath. Don't be reactive.
Are you out of data?
A heavy silence.
There is someone, Maya.
Okay, so something bad is happening. Doesn't mean I should stop breathing. Calmly, I say, there are about 7 billion someones in the world, so you're going to have to be precise about...
I'm going to start dating a woman.
I don't recall sitting down, but the angle from which I can see the neighbor's yard through the window has changed, and there's something soft under my thighs. Ah, I sound surprisingly calm. When did you meet her?
I've known her for a while.
I see. Out of curiosity, how old is she? I can practically hear him close his eyes. That put-upon paternal irritation he reserves for me only. Just wondering. I know how important that is for you.
She's certainly not in her 20s.
I nod, and if he cannot see it, that's his problem. A small, leaden weight coalesces at the bottom of my stomach, rolls, and churns around. You and I are not romantically linked, Connor. We have periodic check-ins in which you make sure that I'm not desperately in love with you, that I understand the score, that we're just friends. I didn't hallucinate them, right?
No.
Are you going to quit talking to Eli and Manami? They're your friends, too.
It's not the same.
You're right. It's not. You and Manami were in a years-long romantic relationship. Your new girlfriend, the word tastes like manure, would probably insist on you cutting ties with her. But why would she care about me? The quiet on the other end is so deep, I wonder if he hung up. Then,
Maya, have you been seeing anyone?
Every relationship has a few potentially inflammatory topics to steer away from. For some, it's politics, or fracking, or ethical hunting. But Connor and I share a lot of values. We see eye to eye on most issues, with some nuance that drags us into hours-long rabbit holes of arguments and calm the fuck on and ha, gotcha! I enjoy them. He does too. What we never, ever talk about is whom we see when we're not together. Not that I have anything to share. Where is this coming from? A beat.
Last week, Eli was talking about you with one of the junior analysts.
Who?
Cameron,
he says.
I forget his last name. He has an interesting background. Started out as a physicist, ended up with us.
I did not know about the physics to hedge fund pipeline.
For the last time, we do not run a hedge fund, Maya.
Sure, and how is this related to you no longer wanting to be my friend?
Eli offered to see if you were interested. Maybe set you two up. Said that you hadn't dated anyone in years.
Fuck. 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 Thank you for thinking of me, but I don't need to be introduced to someone who's studied physics. I live my entire life surrounded by physicists. If I wanted to date one, I would simply wander UT's hallways and help myself to the first relativistic mechanics freak who also happens to be unable to change a flat tire.
That's not it.
I don't like what I'm hearing in Connor's voice. I don't like not knowing what the it in question refers to. I do not keep Eli abreast of all my romantic activities. Not to mention, I'm not interested in most of the guys around me.
I think you should be. I think that you should. We both should focus on forming relationships with people who are more appropriate.
Age appropriate?
That too. Maya, let's be blunt. Our relationship may not be romantic in nature, but the way it's structured makes it hard to explain to others.
Which is the reason I've asked you to keep it a secret. He insisted on coming clean. He was the one who wanted to tell Eli and the others.
They could be a guardrail,
he said, as though we needed someone to come between us, as though he were a car driving too fast and I... the abyss waiting to swallow him ahead of a particularly sharp curve. Are you afraid of me? I asked him once, and when he said,
yes,
without hesitating, I took it as a win, a sign that things would soon change. I'm a
fucking idiot.
I take a deep, bracing breath. This woman, are you in love with her? He laughs. He actually laughs, and the hollow sound of it reminds me of who I thought Connor was before getting to know him.
Maya, don't misunderstand what... That's not what this is about.
I get no satisfaction from hearing that. So, you are kicking me out of your life for someone you don't even love. I close my eyes, feeling like I'm being swept under by a wave of something viscous and suffocating.
If things do work out with her, and if it becomes serious...
So many ifs! You don't sound very sure about this girl. Since you're so unenthused, maybe you should date someone else. The knot of lead inside me is expanding outward. My entire body feels heavier. Toxic. Poison. That's what this conversation is. And since you think you can't date someone and stay friends with me at the same time, maybe you should date me. My delivery is light, but by now he's skilled at catching the tides of my anger.
Jesus.
Why not? Is she smarter than me? Is she funnier? Is she prettier than... Actually, don't answer. I don't want to...
No one is, Maya.
He says, with some anger, like I just tore the truth from him. A rare moment of honesty between us. I bared my cards, he showed his. Now what?
You like me, I say. Firm.
I may be crying, but he doesn't need to hear the tears in my voice. You like talking to me. You like the way I look. You care about me. You tell me things you are unable to put into words when you are with others. You... This... What we have, as odd and limited and unusual as it may be, is the best part of our lives. Perhaps I'm just an idiot, but I cannot understand why you'd rather deprive us both of it than...
Because you are 22 years old, Maya. Because you have a whole life ahead of you. Because every last fucking thing about this is problematic. I've been desperately trying to navigate the best fucking thing that's ever happened to me and still be fair to you. And I can no longer see a way to do it without taking something from you. If our relationship is keeping you from experiences that you should be having at your age, then I am taking advantage. And I can no longer allow myself to.
I love you. I interrupt him. Calm. Even. I think I hear him die.
Maya.
I love you.
No.
I love you, and you are my best friend.
No.
I don't care that you're older. I don't care that you work all the time. I don't even care if your weird brain wants to pretend that we're just platonic pen pals until I hit 30. I will wait for it. I will wait for you.
No.
The only thing I care about is, are you in love with me? The sound of breathing. A hitch, barely audible.
That's irrelevant, Maya.
I laugh. And for a split second, I actually feel happy, hopeful, fucking elated. All that running he's been doing, and he can't even lie to me. He can't bring himself to say the one untruth that would shut me up. Nice try. He ignores me, composes himself.
Everything you just said, that's the exact reason this needs to stop. You need to be with someone your age. Someone who doesn't come with sets of issues that span generations. Someone who...
Someone who is in his original condition. Pristine. Someone who has never experienced suffering. I need one of those collectible action figures. The ones that never get taken out of the box. Shall we check eBay? He steamrolls me.
It'll be good for you. Some time away from me. You'll have room to explore.
I have no interest in the Camerons of this world. I have no interest in anyone, but...
You don't know what you're interested in, Maya. You are far too young, and our relationship is limiting your opportunities to fully grasp the extent and variety of your options. Whatever you think you're feeling about me.
I'm in love with you, Connor. The words slip out. Thick, watery, and I hate it. So please, say that, instead of this whatever-you're-feeling bullshit. At the very least, do me the favor of acknowledging my words. an exhale, a ragged one.
I know you think that you're in love with me, but if you give it time, it will run its course. And the kindest thing I can do for you at the moment is to free you from me.
He used the word kind, and I want to take it from him and use it to stab him. And what about you, Connor? Will it run its course for you too?
A terrible silence.
I don't know what you're talking about.
That's where my hope dies. Something selfish and dark swells within me, something murderous and cutting and vengeful at the knowledge that he trusts himself and me so little.
He's not going to let us have this. He's going to take it away. And he's not even going to admit that he...
The anger is high up in my throat, and it always leads down the same path. Connor?
Yes, Maya.
Genuinely? From the bottom of my heart. Fuck off!
I hang up. We don't talk for the following 10 months.
2 days before the wedding. Chapter 36. Present day, Taormina, Italy. Connor opens his door a few minutes past midnight. When I arrived and you brought my luggage upstairs, did you choose the room that was the farthest away from yours for me?
You know I did.
I grin and walk inside, brushing past him. He's ready for bed. His hair is tousled and damp at the edges, as though he just washed his face. He wears only low-slung thin sweats that look really nice on him, and I wonder if they were purchased by the same person who keeps him in suits. I put on what Nyota referred to as my very slutty short PJ set, intentionally. A valiant effort, I commend him, sitting on the sill of his open window. No Etna from here, but he really does have a stunning view of the pool.
If ultimately useless.
Miscalculated, huh? He exhales a laugh.
With you, I always do.
He closes the door, walks to the center of the room, and I have to grit my teeth at how incredibly Connor he is. One of a kind. My kind.
Maya, it's been a long day.
Agreed.
I'm tired. Not at my best.
It's the same even-keeled tone he uses when he's trying to rationally talk Kaida into not eating a crayon. That's fine. I'm sure that Connor Harkness's not best in bed is still better than most guys' superlatives.
That's not what I mean.
No? What do you mean? A displeased pause.
It's not a good idea. Us. Alone. It's difficult to control myself.
I shrug, feel the tips of my hair bounce around my waist. It's usually too heavy and messy to leave loose, but Connor likes it. I know it, even though he never said so. Is that why you've been visibly turned on since I entered the room? He swears under his breath. I don't mind. I mean, it's not like you can hide it.
Maya.
I'm tired, too. I give him my most sunshine smile. Let's just sleep. Can I stay here?
You don't want to be anywhere near me.
Why?
Because, Maya, I just got off a phone call with Tamron's lawyer, and I'm going to have to tell her that my shithead siblings refused the settlement offer. Because my closest friend's wedding is a shit show, and because none of my fucking quants have given me a satisfactory response on a fucking simple question that...
It's okay, I say, moving into him. I press the flat of my palms right under the jut of his ribs for balance, rise on the tip of my toes, and kiss the stubbly corner of his jaw. Rest. I'll see you tomorrow. I'm halfway to the door when his hand closes around my wrist. The veins on his forearms are in sharp relief. I thought you wanted me to leave. His jaw shifts.
Where are you going?
Mount Etna, I was thinking.
Heard it's lovely there, this time of year. Come on, Connor, I'm going to my room. Where do you think I...
Oh, but of course.
I won't call up the guy. He seems to be grinding his teeth. I told you, I have no interest in... I shake my head.
Listen, I thought you'd just spent the afternoon making sweet, life-affirming love to Avery, and then you were trying to tell me what I couldn't do, and...
I just wanted to get a reaction from you. Not Hans is here on vacation with his girlfriend. He just pretended to flirt with me.
He didn't.
I'm pretty sure I was there.
Maya, he wasn't pretending. I guarantee you that every boy your age wants you. Men my age want you. Wherever you go, every fucking body is looking at you.
I laugh because he's a lunatic. I love it. Say they do. I don't care. Not Hans is not my type. He's at least 2 decades away from a colonoscopy. His glare is venomous. Don't be bitter, Connor. You still have all of your natural hair. I pat his hand and try to free myself, but he doesn't let go, which is interesting. I thought you were tired. His face says a lot of things, and I can't begin to understand them. And that you didn't want me here. Silence. In the soft golden light, he's unreadable. It's funny. 10 months ago, you tried to eject me from your life, but you never once managed to say that you didn't want me. And tonight, a flick of my free wrist. All you need to say is that your days have been better without me in them, and that I should leave you alone, and I will never bother you again. He lets go of me. His face shudders.
Some lies are too big, even for me.
Then stop being so terrified of me.
I'm not afraid of you. I am afraid of myself and of the person I become when I'm around you.
He leans over me, crowds me, his eyes a cold burn into mine.
I have never wanted anything as desperately, as ungovernably, as persistently as I want you. Not a single goddamn thing, not my dead mother back, not revenge, not the well-being of the people I love, not professional success, not even my own happiness. Absolutely nothing has consumed me as mercilessly as you have.
My throat constricts, bitter. So, 10 months ago you pushed me away and never thought of me again.
Is that what you think? That 10 months ago I woke up, had a difficult conversation, ripped the band-aid, and spent the rest of my life reaping the fruits of my bravery?
He shifts deeper into me, his lips brush against my ear like he cannot bear to hold my eyes as he speaks.
For 10 months, day after day, I woke up and fought my most base instinct, which was to call you, no, to come to you. Every day since that phone call, I spent remaking the choice to free you of my presence in your life so that you could have a better one. Make no mistake, Maya. We may not have spoken or seen each other, but for the last 10 months, my relationship with you was the most labor-intensive and all-encompassing presence in my life.
Every word hurts. Every word pulsates through me. And yet, I ask, I told you that I loved you, and you said... I pull back to see his reaction. You said that it would pass.
I did.
How did that work out for you? A smile tugs at his lips.
I said that it would pass for you, Maya. I was never under the illusion that it would so much as fade for me. And I was prepared for it.
A heartbeat?
I still am.
I gasp, incredulous. Why? I'm... standing in front of you, telling you that for me the last 10 months never even happened.
Maybe it just wasn't long enough.
He seems lost.
And you need more time.
I want to bite him. I want to sink my incisors and my canines into him and make him bleed. I want it so bad that my hands and my shoulders are shaking, and honestly, fuck these games. Do you want me to leave?
It would be best if...
Not the question I...
No, Maya. I never want you to be anywhere but with me.
My heart stops. Restarts with a riot. The cautious hope for a breakthrough. I force myself to breathe evenly and make my decision.
I lay my hand against his pecs, run it down his smooth skin, curling it around the elastic of his sweats. My meaning is, if I stay, this is happening. If I stay, I'm not going to let you pretend that we are good friends reconnecting. And Connor has always been good at understanding what I'm trying to say. But then he tells me,
if you stay, you're in charge.
That I didn't expect. Are you one of those CEOs who enjoy doing their dominatrix's laundry? Soft laughter.
Would that be an issue?
No. I think about it. It might be fun.
I'm happy to help you with your laundry, but...
His hands cup both sides of my head.
I need you to decide, because nothing has changed. You're still younger and less experienced, and...
I have no interest in listening to him rehash his greatest hits, and I don't mind being in control. I don't mind taking his hand and leading him to the couch. I don't mind putting my hands on his bare shoulders and pushing him down to his sitting position. I don't mind taking my clothes off while he watches, legs spread wide like the men on the bus, eyes darker than ever. The pink sheer panties, I decide after I see the hitch in his throat, are allowed to stay. Feel free to tell me how pretty I am, I tease as my shirt slips to the ground. But Connor remains silent, lips parted, the muscles in his chest shifting with every breath. The ridge of his erection strains his sweats, a wet patch already darkening the front. I straddle his lap, but he doesn't touch me. He's so tense, I wonder if he'll shatter in a million pieces. When I move forward and lick his clavicle, a shiver reverberates through him. Do you think about me? I murmur against his skin. When you are doing this with other people?
No.
I bite him, just a bit of teeth, to show him how little I liked his answer.
That's okay. I tell myself, he's thinking about me now.
But his hand comes up to push a lock of hair behind my ear.
I don't do this with other people, not since Edinburgh.
I pull back, search his face. He runs his fingers through my hair, a sweet, warm caress at odds with the fact that I'm all but naked in his lap, with the severity of his erection. Avery? He thumbs my cheekbone, shakes his head.
You were always there.
Where?
In my mind.
I nod. Something sticks in my throat. Expands even more when he says,
since the first day I met you, you have been the best thing in my life, and you weren't even in it.
I close my eyes, overwhelmed by the wastefulness of the last few years. All that could have been. What a romantic way to say that you think about me when you masturbate, I joke.
Maya.
His head tilts backward, resting against the leather. There's a red flush on his cheekbones. Really? That's the line, Connor? He groans.
It's the Catholic guilt.
I grin. You do think about me then?
I try not to.
Does it work? Laughter exhaled.
Not once.
Aw. I pretend to pout, and his thumb finds my lower lip. I'm sorry.
No, you aren't.
But he's smiling too, and looks more beautiful than ever. And I decide to lean backward, my palms on his knees, my ass settled on the lower part of his thighs. I'm spread wide open, but he is doing a great job of holding my eyes, as though his gaze sliding to my tits might unleash a nuclear apocalypse. Tell me about these fantasies of yours.
You don't want to know.
Oh, I do. His throat convulses, visibly.
I don't know that you would find it particularly sexy.
Try me. Are we in a church? Do I have tentacles? Making him laugh turns me on as much as making him hard.
Do you want tentacles, Trouble? I can give them to you next time.
Maybe. Are we tickling each other? Turning into werewolves? The flush deepens. This is a side of Connor no one else sees. A little boyish. Timid. I adore it.
It's embarrassing, Maya.
You don't have to tell me. But if you do, I might be able to make it come true. He huffs, shakes his head. But after a minute, voice gravelly, he says,
I come home from work.
Stop. Too unrealistic. He pinches my knee lightly.
I come home from work, and you're there, at the table, doing whatever it is that you do. Studying, equations, reading a novel. I have no idea.
At least you don't think I split atoms for a living. His lips twitch.
You're just doing your thing. The same stuff I've seen you do countless times in Eli's kitchen.
But I'm naked?
No. You're just... It's my house. You're in my house. And your stuff is around the place, scattered everywhere. Like you live there.
You'd never be able to get it up in the presence of clutter. He snorts, but he's rock hard. That wet spot? Expanding. And then?
And then you look up and smile. Come to me. Welcome me home.
I wait for him to continue. And...
I kiss you, and you kiss me back. And I close my arms around you because I can. And you're warm, and you like it. What I'm doing to you. I press you against the table, and you're soft under me, and...
Connor sighs, like just saying all this stuff is turning him on beyond belief. He reaches for his cock and holds the base tight. What happens next?
I'm usually finished before it escalates. Most times, really. But if I play it further, usually I take you to my room and...
Connor, I tilt my head, amused. Are you saying that the peak of your erotic fantasies is doing it in a bed? His fingertips trace the pale skin of my thigh, the place where the muscle turns into fat, a touch so light his fingers may just be hovering over me.
In the fantasy, you're my girlfriend. My more than that, maybe. I figured out a way to have you and also set you free, and you are...
He looks away, like out of all the embarrassments, this is the one that burns the brightest.
I'm not afraid to hurt you. You are mine, and used to me touching you. You welcome it. We have a life, Maya, that's ours.
You could have it, I think. Something tears inside me. You could have had it for the past 3 years if you hated yourself just a little less. That sounds like a highly problematic fantasy, I say, not sure whether I'm joking. Am I older in it? I don't have the tragic past that makes me highly susceptible to the undue influence of father figures. His hand closes around my knee, warm.
You're not. You're just you.
Heartbreaking that he would change nothing about me. It's you who's different, then. You have found a way to give me the world and take me, too. He nods with some difficulty. All I want is to take this self-loathing man and make him happy. Next to us, his phone lights up with a work call that he ignores in favor of lifting a hand to my ribcage. It hovers there until I say, "You may." And then his thumb brushes around my nipple, softly, delicately, like it's made of a highly explosive substance. When his cock twitches, I lean forward, not letting my hips make contact with his. The front of my panties is wet and slick. I'm sure I've soiled his sweats by now. Do you want to know my fantasy? I ask, rubbing my cheek against the scratchy surface of his throat.
That feels like a trick question.
It's odd. It hasn't exactly been my thing. Alfie used to complain that I didn't do it enough. My eyelashes flutter against his jaw. But I think about going down on you all the time. He swears, sharp and unintelligible. The thumb circling my nipple stops, but his grip tightens. Connor, I just know that you would look so pretty coming several inches down my throat and...
You need to fucking...
He squeezes my hip so hard there will be coin-sized bruises blooming there. I cannot wait to count them.
You need to stop. Please.
I kiss his cheek, apologetic. How long do you think you'd last? I think it might be an automatic reflex, the way his hand slams my core down against the outline of his cock. His breath comes in quick, noisy puffs against my temple, and when I reach out, I expect him to swat my hand away. But this time, he lets me pull down the fabric and grip him. We stare at each other, chests rising and falling together. I push my underwear aside and run the head of his cock against my labia, then my clit. Feel how heavy he is, how hot and thick. My name is a deep grunt that travels through space and time. His hands fist in the cushions. Okay, I ask. A rough exhale.
Yeah.
I sit up, arrange us. He's hot and slippery against me. I've never had sex without a condom, I say, maybe to punt. This is going to be a lot on multiple fronts.
Me neither.
Would you like me to use one? There is genuine amusement in his laugh.
No, Maya.
I smile. We're being irresponsible. Stupid. Problematic. I don't care. No condom in your fantasies? Am I on birth control?
It's...
His cheeks are scarlet. He looks in the middle distance, admits low.
Neither.
And I can't wait anymore. I let gravity and my weight take over and slide down on him, taking several inches in one stroke.
Jesus, slow.
His palms slide under my panties, grip my ass.
Slow the fuck down or you're going to...
I like it when... I try to speak. It comes out breathy and mumbled. I like it when it hurts a bit. And I am in charge. Connor's jaw twitches. He groans something about how unbelievable I am. Wonders whether I've fallen from the fucking sky. His hands shake, but I'm too busy trying to adjust, and I lift myself up. Down. The friction is heaven, and we both groan. Connor stares at me, face
tits, the place where my cunt clutches tight around him, like he doesn't fully understand what is happening. Like he thought he knew the rules of the game, but just realized he had no idea what he's playing. Do you want me to stop? I ask, but I'm still bouncing on top of him, a little more than half of him inside me on the downstroke, inching deeper, feeling like a muscle that needs to be broken into, trained, and opened. When he's nearly all the way out, the length of his cock is suddenly wet and shiny. It turns me on beyond belief. Judging by his grip on my waist, him too.
How do you even exist?
He asks, hushed. Sweat pearls over my skin, drips between my breasts. I cross my wrist around his neck, looking for support as I move on him. His gaze fixates on something past my shoulder. The wall mirror behind us. He's staring at us. At me. At my ass moving over him. You like it?
Fuck.
He chokes out, and I drop a kiss onto his cheek. It's okay. I know you do. He's in as far as he can go. This is the most full I've ever been. And you have seen my dildos, remember?
Christ.
His knuckles brush up and down my flank. Inside, he's splitting me up, but his touch is butterfly light.
I remember. I fucking remember.
Yeah?
Afterward, I told myself that it was a good thing, that maybe you enjoyed, that you'd be able to take me easier.
My hold on him tightens, something close to a hug. There is pleasure here, smeared with the pain of the stretch. I wonder how I've managed to live without it so far. Does anyone?
What?
Take you easily. He shakes his head. Good. I'll be the one. His hand lifts to my cheek.
Maya, you already are.
I come right there. Suddenly, before he does. It's like a natural disaster. Violent and unsettling. Good. Fucking biblical, even. But it rips me, tears me apart, and bleaches my head white. When my vision stops spotting, his breathing is racehorse fast, mouth half open. His hands are around my waist, thumbs resting on my hip bones.
The hardest part of the last 3 years,
he says, words punched out of his lungs,
was knowing exactly what you look like when you come.
I'm still twitching, little contractions around his cock. You like making me come, don't you?
I like everything about you.
I just want to return the favor, Connor. Is it too much to ask? I squeeze him with my internal muscles. Watch him shudder. Let me give you this. He shakes his head.
Harder.
What?
I can make you come harder than you already have.
I laugh. I don't think that's possible. And we agreed that I'm the one in charge. You said you'd do what I tell you.
Tell me then.
He rasps against my jaw.
Tell me to pull out and curl my fingers inside you and eat you out until you pass out from it.
No, I already...
I don't fucking care. Tell me.
Against the gentle burn of his beard, I say, no. He lets out an annoyed, guttural sound.
Then ask me to go deeper.
What?
Tell me to get inside you, even deeper.
I don't think that's possible.
Tell me to go fucking deeper, Maya.
It sounds like an order, but he's begging. That's why I nod.
without expecting the way he tilts my pelvis. A grunt, and then he's into the hilt and... Fuck, I say.
Tell me to move you. Tell me to show you how to use my cock to make yourself come.
I can barely think. Show me, please. He does. Like I did before, up and down, empty and full, except that I was using his size to stimulate every part of me, and he knows exactly how to... Oh my God, I say, coming again. This orgasm is shallow, wet, erratic, no less good. Connor studies me as I relearn how to breathe, says...
This might be the only decent thing I've done in my whole life. The one thing I'm good for.
What is?
Making you come.
Another angle. This time, me leaning backward, leaving room between our upper bodies. I can almost see him move inside me, rocking back and forth under the skin of my abdomen. Connor lets out a grunt, but then his hand presses down on my belly button. All at once, the space he's carved inside me shrinks, disappears, and I'm coming again, so hard that I space out for a second. I stir back to find my cheek on his shoulders. He inhales deeply, filling his lungs with the scent of me and sex and salt air, shivers with pent-up restraint. What would you do, I ask in his ear, if you weren't afraid to lose control? He shakes his head, like he can't imagine such a scenario, but then says,
I would want you under me. I would pin you down. I would lock you in a room and not let anyone look at you ever. I would.
I wait, but he doesn't continue until I say, whatever it is, it won't shock me.
It will.
His fingers slide down, draw messy circles around my clit. Try me. His exhale sounds like a snarl.
It'll terrify you.
It won't. I grind against the heel of his hand, feeling like I'm contained by him this way. Not a person, but a beam of raw nerve endings, reduced to the places where he strums me and fills me.
I would put a baby in you.
I'm coming again, dropping from a great height. I arch my back as the pleasure quivers through me, Connor's teeth grazing the side of my breast. As I ease down, he allows himself to suck on my left nipple, hard. It's a small, short-lived indulgence. You're not going to let yourself come, are you? I breathe out, words tangled between gasps. He's trembling, an exposed wire pulled taut. Still, he shakes his head. When I climb off him, his cock looks to be in pain, but I'm too angry to care about it. I limp to the bathroom, desperately trying to walk straight and pretend like what happened didn't knock me over. The ceiling light is white, suddenly harsh, and the second the door closes behind me, I stagger forward, elbows on the marble counter. I just came more times than I could reliably say. I took and took and took, and yet I feel empty, more hollow than a drum, like something cracked and my insides spilled out. I start cleaning up. My underwear is too drenched to put back on, so I leave it by the sink, next to a transparent case. There is a razor inside, not electric, not even a safety one, an old-school straight razor, a blade. Like he just time-traveled into this century to bring penicillin back to his era. Get the fuck over yourself, Connor, I grit out, rolling my eyes. But in the case, there's something else, too. A vaguely familiar pattern. A shape that nags at me. I reach out, open it. Find a cute plaid scrunchie. My cute plaid scrunchie.
the one I last had in Edinburgh. In Connor's hotel room. Time stops. Restarts counterclockwise. I slide the scrunchie around my wrist, grab a warm washcloth, and return to the gentle glow of the bedside lamp. Connor hasn't pulled up his pants, but he's speaking on the phone, giving hushed instructions that I can hear but not understand. Still naked, I kneel next to him to clean him up. His hand snatches my wrist.
I have to go,
he says into the phone, abruptly ending the call. His eyes linger on the washcloth, then flicker to me.
No.
I tilt my head backward, stare up at him. Really? What are you going to do with that, Connor? He doesn't reply, but tucks himself back into his sweats. Whatever. Screw him. I stand, dropping the washcloth. That's when he notices the fabric at my wrist. It was just a matter of time, since I'm wearing nothing else.
I meant to return it,
he says. Thank you for watching over my 50-cent hair tie for the last 3 years. He blinks, vacant.
Is that how much one costs?
How interesting. Someone who can list every single factor that led to the 1987 Black Monday crash has no idea about the cost of a scrunchie, I jab, venomous.
No need to involve Alan Greenspan.
But then he admits.
You know why I kept it.
Of course I know. And yet, something is changing. Maybe it's his lingering gaze as I knot my hair on top of my head. Maybe his tone. Maybe the way he made me lose control while holding on to his for dear life. Whatever it may be, it unlocks something inside me. A realization. The space between Connor and me is not the fluid, breachable entity I believed it to be, but solid. Uncrossable. I've only been fooling myself. There was never a chance for us. There is only the rest of my life. Without him. Tears sting down my cheeks as I gather my clothes, tempted to just walk back to my room naked. Even if the entire wedding party sees me, it would be preferable to being here one more second with him.
Hey.
His warm hand wraps around my upper arm. Connor stares down at me, looking absolutely, completely devastated.
Did I hurt you?
I let out a wet, hard laugh and pull up my shorts. You know, Connor,